Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to get you through the workday. And your work week, for that matter. And we appreciate you for choosing us. And letting us help you help us. Or something. If you're new here, you don't want to listen to me and Kyle go through all the business. Fast forward to about 6 minutes-ish. And you'll get to the crux of the show. But if you like to listen to us talk, feel free to hang out. And if you've been here before, welcome back, weirdo. We're glad to have you. On that note, we're going to get through to the business. Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a cool cult, not a weird cult. Might be weird sometimes, but not that weird. It's a good time. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our listener experience show, Kyle's got some details as to how you're going to get it to us.
I do. It's in the show notes. It's the easiest place to find it, but it's hollowskypodcast@gmail.com, which is also relatively easy to remember. If you can't, there's nothing I can do for you. You're lost. But with that being said, you just write your story out, shoot it over to the email, get it, file it, air it, and then you'll get your fame and fortune roughly 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, I like that we have a time frame now.
Yeah, I know.
It's good. It's good. I like it.
It's the powers that be. They control it. So
if you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. First off, we have a Patreon, $7 a month. You can go over there. Get all kinds of Patreon exclusive content. There's like 50 plus episodes over there. You get these episodes dropped early instead of like our Mondays drops and our Wednesdays and Thursdays. You'll get them early and you get them ad free. I know a lot of people love the ad freeness. You get casket breath jams. You get merch coupons, all kinds of things over there. Merch. I know that's what you're thinking. How can I rep some Hollow Sky merch? Well, I'm going to tell you. HollowSkyPodcast.com has a merch tab over there. You can check it out. There's shirts and hats and beanies and stickers and all kinds of cool shit. You guys can pick up, rep the Hollow Cult. The best thing, easiest thing you can do, share the show word of mouth. It's free. Takes no time at all. Share the episodes as they come out to social medias. Tell all your weird friends about the show. Anybody listens to paranormal podcasts, anybody likes UFOs and weirdness, conspiracy theories, whatever. Keep the show rolling. Keep the audience growing. That's how we do this thing. That's how we keep it growing and get bigger. And that end game will be hopefully me and Kyle having the time to put out more content for you all. You can also join us on YouTube if you'd like a different experience where you can see our lovely faces talking about these exact words that you're hearing now. It's magical, really.
It is.
But you can go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And as I find them, I will shout you out. We get some Spotify ones I need to pick up, but right now we're still trucking on Apple. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Hollow Cult. Hell yeah. Hollow Cult says, awesome show, 5 stars. My name is Jeff. I hijacked my wife's phone to leave a 5-star review because I don't have iTunes. But the show is awesome. It's like sitting and talking with my friends. Keep up the good work, guys. Hollow Cult for life. I love that Jeff not only commandeered his wife's phone, but her iTunes account now is named Hollow Cult.
Hell yeah.
That's what we need.
Jacking phones and leaving reviews.
That's what we need from the Hollow Cult. Just total abandonment of any kind of idea of right and wrong.
For the good all of the cult. Name of ascension.
All in the good of the cult. I love it. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to steal your wife's phone. That is dedication.
Absolutely.
That is dedication.
Absolutely.
The only thing that would have made it better is if it was a stranger's phone.
Yeah. Either way, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that's going above and beyond for the betterment of the cult.
It is.
I love it. We appreciate you, Jeff. You know what? We appreciate your wife for having an iTunes account too, or this wouldn't have happened. So it all the pieces fell into place to make this a wonderful 5-star rating and review. It's great. On that note, now a word from our friends over at the Sightings Podcast.
What is it about the supernatural that's captivated us for generations? Is it the mysterious allure of the unknown? The heart-pounding thrill of an unexplainable sighting? Or the creeping fear that a life-changing encounter could happen to you? Sightings is the new series that puts you at the center of the world's strangest unexplained events. From Roswell to Amityville to Loch Ness and beyond, each episode combines a never-before-heard story of an infamous supernatural encounter with mind-bending investigations that will leave you questioning what's real and what's impossible. Enter the unexplained with Sightings. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Holocult. We are back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. You know, as I get older, I keep catching myself thinking I should probably go to the doctor more, you know, to deal with all kinds of ailments like lack of sleep, stress from my job, and everybody's favorite lower back pain. But it can be tough to get to the doctor. Like, I want to keep myself healthy, but the system makes it almost impossible to find the right doctor for my needs. That's why we have ZocDoc. They make it easy to find the right fit and book an appointment fast, directly on their website. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, that are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment myself. Luckily, thankfully, I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. It is a one-stop shop. Like, you can find anything you need in your area that accepts your insurance for any ailment you have. They can even get you in within 24 to 48 hours. It really is great. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. We are back and excited to announce our continued partnership with Mood. Mood is an online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, and they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. Mood's mantra is that cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe in supporting American farmers who make all of this possible. Mood was created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. Mood has gummies for literally everything: immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. That's no pesticides, no BS, and they ship to most U.S. states. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I'd mentioned, Holocult listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. That's H-O-L-O. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use our promo code HOLO. That's H-O-L-O. At checkout to save 20% on your first order. All right. This week, Kyle's got some stuff for us. I don't know what it is, but he's going to tell us.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
We like it. We like it.
On the phenomenon known as the Black Eye Club. Oh, a little conspiratorial, a little bizarre. because it is strange when you start to look through social media and media in general, and you start seeing all these prominent figures with black eyes. Because, I mean, Steve, when was the last time you had a black eye?
Long time ago. Oh, I mean, my eyes are always kind of like from lack of sleeping correctly, but not like a legitimate black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the last time I caught one was I couldn't even drive yet, and I caught a baseball to the face.
Mine was probably, I was driving, but I was still a teenager because I was going to punk rock shows. And I got hit in the face with a boot.
Yeah, right, I remember that.
The nose. That did them both in.
Yeah. Well, and
in a minute.
For the most part, I'm talking more of like a single black eye. A lot of times it seems to be the left eye, although there are some right eye phenomenon ones. Catching eyes or catching baseballs with your eyes, not advisable.
So, or boots.
Yeah, or boots. Both do really bad things. Like I said, it's really bizarre to see all these prominent figures, you know, politicians, royal family, celebrities, all sport this black eye. And they do it in public as well, which is also bizarre. You know, people that care about their image so much, why not just kind of wait and avoid publicity until your black eye is gone or cover with makeup?
Who was the last? Didn't Elon have a black eye when he was in?
He did. He did.
Oval Office.
Yeah, and there's
not very prominent, but you could tell something was up.
Yeah, there's some oddities behind that, if I remember, because I was going to write it down, but I didn't. But I do remember it. There are some possible oddities with that. Kind of links into another episode I did. Like I said, it's strange to see all these prominent figures with black eyes. Kind of makes you question what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the overall question to this is, you know, are these celebrities taking part in a ritual to further their power around the world? Or is it possible they're a part of the Illuminati and have sold their soul in a what is called soul scalping ritual?
Yes.
I mean, I kind of lean that direction. A lot of people are coming out with claims that this is nothing more than small injuries, like running into a door and things like plastic surgery.
I have a legitimate question for you.
Go for it.
How many times have you ran into a door with your face?
Fucking never.
Same.
Never.
Same. Just
or like they'll blame it on like falling down.
Yeah. Like the dumb, like they think we're dumb.
Yeah. I don't see it. I'm sure it happens in some cases, but the fact that this has happened so much is interesting, especially when you couple it with some other things that we're going to get into. But with that series of questions, we're going to look at the past for a minute. Because the eye holds massive significance in the occult and mythological realms. You have the eye of Horus. And that is supposedly essentially a play on the all-seeing eye, even though there's actual different origins for those. But the eye of Horus is something you see very often. It's a very prominent Egyptian symbol. And there's actually a story behind that. Horus had his eye wounded by Set. And then later on, I think Thoth restored Horus's eye. But anyways, the left eye often symbolizes the moon or the feminine. The right eye symbolizes sun and masculine. Horus loses his left eye in battle with Set. Thoth then restores it. The eye of Horus is then considered a symbol of healing and restoration, protection from evil, and spiritual sight, especially post-trauma. Some interpretations are as follows. To see beyond the normal reality, you may have to suffer loss or endure a wound, physical or psychological. So I find that interesting that there's ancient Egyptian ties to, and the eyes are just a prominent figure in occultism in general. But then you look at North mythology and Odin. Odin gives up his right eye to drink from the well of Mimar, a source of cosmic wisdom. Odin then becomes more powerful, trading earthly perception for spiritual insight. Enlightenment comes at the cost of something personal. Some would see this into hidden knowledge or deeper understanding. Then you have the pineal gland, which isn't quite what we're looking into, but it may be a piece of the puzzle because it does, a lot of people kind of attribute that to the eye. The pineal gland is often associated with clairvoyance, awakening, and higher consciousness. Now, through a modern occult sense, the eye must be broken to be opened, which some interpret trauma or psychological crisis as a form of initiation. The Masons also have rituals around the eyes, like blindfolding them, which symbolizes death and rebirth, because the veil is lifted and they are said to see the light. So, go ahead. Are you going to say something?
Yeah. It's probably not pertinent to the story, but wasn't the Eye of Horus the symbol that kept showing up in, like, was it
Chad? Sarnoface?
Yeah, Chad Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kept seeing the tattoos and stuff.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep. I didn't even think about that until you just, I knew exactly where you were going when you said tattoo.
Yeah. It's crazy that there's so much Egyptian lore linked to the phenomena, but also linked to like the conspiratorial side of it as well. Like almost like if it has roots in all of these, maybe there really is something to it.
Well, I don't know how far down it may be right now, but because the mention of the Masons, there's possibly a link between the Masons and the Egyptians. So that could explain a lot of modern conspiracy having all these Egyptian ties, because the Masons fall in so much of conspiracy. Whether it's by actuality or just by conspiratorial conversations. Something I didn't know, but ties some of this together, is that the right hand and left hand paths are also interpreted through the eyes as well. So some people would call it, you know, the left eye path or the right eye path.
Mm.
The left, and it's kind of the same thing. The left eye path is self-dedication, rebellion, and esoteric power, while the right eye path relates to obedience, divine order, and hierarchical structures.
I wonder if that correlates.
Essentially the same thing as the hands.
Yeah. I wonder if it correlates to like which eye is blacked.
Now, through looking at a lot of it, it does seem like most people in question have a blackened left eye. But there are cases where it's the single right eye. So I don't know. I think in most people's idea of the Black Eye Club, it is the left eye. Because you see the left eye, you see that significantly more than a right eye. Because
that's kind of what I thought. Like I had heard about it, I hadn't really looked into it, but I kind of felt like it was more of a left eye thing than
Yeah. But it seems like in most of my research, people weren't exactly picky. Like they're lumping it all together is what's happening.
Okay.
Right. And I feel like by the end of this, I think a lot of people will be on the same page, is that people don't really know what the Black Eye Club is. They are trying to figure it out. And so I think they're creating nets and trying to catch everything and then start to siphon down to see what is sticking.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially since they don't know.
Yeah. I honestly don't think, at least by the sources I was able to find, I don't think anybody knows what the Black Eye Club actually is. But we'll get into that a little bit later. So through cultures, the wounded eye shows up as a sacrifice for knowledge or a mark for spiritual change. I even found reference to old Masonic and occult texts that reference the veiling of the left eye to represent the initiate being blinded to the profane world and opened only to the hidden light of inner order. In some rituals, with what could be, or which could be suggested here, is that the left eye is being symbolically sacrificed to open the path toward hidden knowledge or inner sight. So instead of actually destroying your left eye, it's more of a symbolic thing. And you are going through a process of trauma because there's obviously trauma to the eye there.
Almost like maybe they're shutting down the left-hand path to open up, you know, path to enlightenment, maybe.
Maybe. Your opinion might change later on, but we'll keep that there. And so I'm not sure how I feel about this, but in some circles, it's suggested that the bruising of the left eye may represent the triumph of solar power over lunar power, remembering that the right eye is the sun and the left eye is the moon. The right eye is also masculine, left eye is feminine. In some holistic spiritual frameworks, the left eye, pain or twitching, can signal emotional upheaval, energy blockages, or reception of psychic / occult information. So this essentially could suggest that any injury or impairment of the left eye could open initiates to deeper psychic currents. So let's get into this. It's kind of a multi-long road journey here, but you have the ritual, and this is as much as people essentially know. You have the bruising of the left eye, which is a deliberate injury to the eye. It's often placed under a guise of an accident. Once again, the left eye is often considered the cult eye or a mark of enlightenment. A public display is then required. They will appear in public for everyone to see. This supposedly is meant to signal to others that they have completed the ritual. This can be seen as a humiliation ritual, which showcases obedience to the group. Once again, I kind of go back to the point. It's crazy to me that all these prominent figures just show up with black eyes. Like, you even have the Pope, who had a black left eye. You had presidents like Bush. You had John Kerry, who had it. There is a large, a lot of people, presidents and rulers of UK and Europe with the black eye. Like, so many people. And that's just politicians and such. Then you have celebrities and everybody else that mount up to this. And I know, you know, a lot of them celebrities care about their image. Most people would just throw some makeup on and then go out.
And like, these are prominent figures, right? Think about our day to day. How many people we interact with, how many people we encounter out and about, shopping, going out to eat, working. How often do you see someone with a black eye?
Not very often.
Not very often. But you have all these prominent figures
who have bodyguards. They have bodyguards and assistants, and they all have black eyes.
It's crazy. So
it's weird. It's weird when you really start to think about it. Then you are recognized by your peers, typically through some type of subtle communication, once again, rooted in Masonic and esoteric tradition. Initiates are said to symbolically sacrifice their left eye, which is a sacrifice as a path to hidden truths, some type of spiritual advancements. So far, it does seem like that whether it's symbolically or literal sacrifice of an eye or a something personal to the initiate, In a lot of avenues here, it is all kind of narrowing in on you sacrifice something, you go through trauma, pain for some type of enlightenment. So everything that I've kind of stumbled down, it seems to walk this path. Even with Horus and Odin, you know, Odin gave up his eyes so he could drink from the well and have cosmic knowledge or cosmic enlightenment. So you have a lot of rooted belief in the sacrifice of the eye with some type of hidden truth, whatever the fuck that means.
Which, I mean, right? Makes sense, really, with the imagery, like eyes are the windows of the soul. And
exactly.
You know, especially with enlightenment, like you're almost giving up your physical enlightenment for spiritual enlightenment. It's interesting. Yeah,
it is. And once again, through the research, I keep finding suggestions about how this links to Horus and how he lost his eye in battle. And then you go into how the Masons may have ties to Egyptian teachings. The Eye of Horus is a symbol of protection, knowledge, and power, which some believe the Eye of Horus is the true origin of the Masonic all-seeing eye. Even though they claim that the eye, or the all-seeing eye, actually comes from a Christian symbol of divine oversight, people actually believe that Freemasonry is a continuation of Egyptian mystery schools. Figures like Horus, Osiris, and Isis are said to represent archetypes in Masonic rituals. The death and resurrection of Osiris seems to mirror Masonic degree rituals. The possible tie-in here is that some suggest that the world elites are descendants from ancient Nephilim Egyptian bloodlines tracing back to Horus and Osiris. So wrap your head around that one.
Which, I mean, I never thought of a Nephilim connection, because like that's a hot button. That's like the hot word right now. Everything's a Nephilim. Everything's a Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
But could there be some fire to that smoke if it's such a prominent feature of the phenomenon? Keeps going back to these Egyptian gods, goddesses.
It's weird how often things go back to the Egyptian gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
It's weird. Which supposedly goes back even further to Saturn. So at the head of all of this, it really, if what I was reading is true, it seems like legitimately everything goes to Saturn.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Because I think if I remember correctly, when Horus loses his eye to Set, essentially, by what I was reading, is Saturn. Because it links to Saturn, because Set, I think the way it was explained is Set is like the Satan of Egyptian culture. And Satan ties into Saturn. Like the word Satan is kind of like a derivative of Saturn.
Yeah, Set is the complex and multifaceted god associated with chaos, storms, the desert, and such.
I think he was kind of considered a solar god, too.
Yeah, he is known for his strength and association with violence, but also for his role as a protector of Ra and the sun god.
Yeah, so he was associated with the sun.
Interesting.
So it's weird, right?
Yeah.
How much actually does drive back to Saturn? And some of them connections might be a little bit of a stretch, but they're there.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting, right?
God, it's like then, little pieces of the puzzle, but we don't know what the puzzle is.
Yeah.
We don't know how many pieces there are, and we don't know where the pieces fit.
Yeah. I did see, sidetrack here, another book on Saturn I might get.
Good.
It seems interesting.
Revisit.
Yeah. Seems interesting because I do pull some information later on about this book. But so we go back to some of the off the wall shit here. Because when I when I think of the Black Eye Club, and I don't know how many people actually know about this, I do always think, I always affiliate it with something called the Vril Society. Do you know much about the Vril Society, Steve?
No, but I do know that someone somewhere just brought it up.
Oh, really?
It may have been a YouTube comment.
I think.
Asking for us to look into it, maybe.
And the more I looked into this, the more I am convinced that the Vril Society and the Black Eye Club are at least in parallel with one another. And I've heard of the Vril Society here and there. You know, in some of my research, I've thought about writing an episode on them, and I still can, because they did a lot of things. But so in conjunction with the Black Eye Club, some people link this to soul scalping and parasites. So let that sink in for a second.
Soul scalping
and parasites. Pretty bold words.
Dangerous words.
Right? So some people say that the black eye is caused by a quill or a demon reptilian entering through the left eye to the brain's pineal gland, which then will initiate a possession or a supernatural link. This is what I'm here for.
Yeah. What was it? A quill?
Yes, it's called a quill. We'll get into it, like, more of what it is later on.
Okay. But all right.
It's there, right? So,
which again leads back to, like, eyes are the window to the soul. What better way to get into the soul for a demon than to go through the window?
Right. So you have Sherry Schreiner says that the parasite that enters the eye is like a, and the things are conflicted. But once again, remember, I think there's a wide net and it's coming down. But it's a parasite that enters the eye, and the parasite is about a 6 to 8 inch worm. It will embed itself in the optic nerve. It will also hijack neural pathways and suppress the human soul. It also seems to go down a road of being marked with by aliens and reptilians. Like, sometimes they may abduct elites and do this to them to control them. I did, in the theories, like I said, it's kind of a scattershot. I also saw how the black eyes could be affiliated with adrenochrome injections into the left eye. Right? Because there's the big fad of the adrenochrome that seemed to go through the elites.
Yeah, that's funny that, well, not funny, but interesting that you brought that up, because I was trying to dig in on the Cult of the Red, the Red Shoe Club, right? Which also kind of delves into the adrenochrome thing, maybe. That's for another time. Sorry.
Yeah, I couldn't find a lot of adrenochrome links. I think people are just, like I said, I think they're casting a wide net and trying to drag it in and see and, you know, funnel it down. But the more I got to reading, the more I got to exploring, the more I really do think it's tied to the Vril Society, because the Vril Society, from what I always knew and heard, they were like, that was the one that was tied closely with the parasites entering through the left eye. I know, like, Donald Marshall has talked about it before, and he's real big on human cloning and shit like that. But it honestly seems to me that they're tied together. And there was a guy that I find, and I'll mention his name in podcast later, that kind of runs it together, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But anyways, you know, you have the eye being hurt. In a lot of societies, the eye is, as Steve said earlier, a portal. In harming this eye, it seems to signify a binding or spiritual inversion. Some people even tie it to counterfeit stigmata, a sign of betrayal, not salvation. So as you were saying earlier, Steve, the blackening of the eye to suppress you know, the left-hand path and expose the right-hand path. These people are saying, like with the Eye of Horus is a sign of protection, divine insight, all that shit. By blackening it, you're actually inverting and perverting it.
Oh, it's kind of essentially the opposite, really.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So instead of shutting it down, you're
bringing it forth almost like in a mockery sense.
Yeah.
Which is what demonic forces are kind of known for.
Yeah.
Is the perversion of things like that.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And apparently it's like I said, it is a wide net because people seem to also be torn between an alien connection and a demonic connection. But in our worlds, for some people, that's two in the same, right? So, like I said, this kind of makes the most sense to me. I've read some saying that, or this one makes no sense to me. Some people suggest that the black eye is nothing more than a check and balances system. So it's like, if Steve, you're in my club and you fuck up, I give you a black eye. Then you go out in public and you let all the other members know that you fucked up and this is your punishment. I don't think that is it at all. To me, it makes no fucking sense because what's the point of that? And none of us would know.
No, what it would like it almost tries to like be a humiliation ritual, but it's
yeah, not
that fucking bad. Like, oh, you have a black eye. Uh-oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that. Like that to me is off the table. That's gone.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's trying to guide a narrative, you know?
Yeah.
Like away from what's really going on.
Yeah. And I think logically speaking, they are dead on the money when it is a call to everyone else, you know, basically letting everybody in the club know, hey, I'm now a part of the club. I can fuck with you guys. You know, I'm in this with you. I completed my ritual. I move forward, so on and so forth.
And like there, I haven't really looked into it, but delving around in the conspiracy world, it's brought up a lot. A lot of people's like demeanors changes after these things happen.
Absolutely. That is something that gets brought up.
Yeah. Okay.
But in the end, it does seem that the blackened eye has truly become, and I like the way this is worded, a public sigil of allegiance. I like it.
Yeah.
So, and there's a podcast here, and I think it's called Cause Before Symptom. And in here, he talks about the Lords of the Left-Hand Path and the Temple of Black Light look at the eyes as solar symbols. To blacken it is to reject divine hierarchy. He also points out Crowley describes the loss of sight as a precursor to entering the abyss, surrendering perception to receive new vision. So, I mean, Lords of the Left Hand seem pretty gangster. Temple of Black Light, pretty gangster.
Yeah.
And we know Crowley was pretty gangster in the occult realms, right? They all have the eyes as these symbols.
Yeah.
And you look at a black eye, you know, in conjunction with Crowley, just describing it as the abyss or losing sight. Both of them in this guise of, you know, new vision, seeing new things.
And there's like, I know you talked about it, but there's so much symbolism with the eye. Like you have the all seeing eye and you have like it really is one of the pathways that we accept, like as to how we accept our reality.
Yeah.
Would be through our eyes, through our eyesight. So having those altered and compromised, like that is essentially symbolism for changing your reality.
Yeah.
Altering your reality.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, he even gets into how this is possibly connected to the Vril Society. And the Vril Society had a lot of its fame during the Nazi era, right? And what's kind of fucked up about this is, and I would like to maybe try to roll this out, but supposedly, excuse me, the Vril Society, which is what would cause a lot of people to not believe in the Vril Society, it was first mentioned in a fictional book. And I don't know what exactly happened here. If the book wasn't actually a thing of fiction, or if people read it and liked it and decided to start creating a belief system around it. Regardless, people used the name. They had women who were psychics, and these women could channel messages, making telepathic connections with beings from the star Aldebaran, from the Taurus constellation. They used this connection to create anti-gravity crafts, free energy, and to communicate with extraterrestrial and inner Earth beings. After the war, which is fucked up, these women seemingly vanished into thin air.
That's fucking weird.
Their existence went goodbye. Some people speculate they went to South America and Antarctica, which is the same path that they suggest Hitler went with. Some even suggest they went back to the Aldebaran star system, whatever the fuck, whatever planet that is, star, planet, whatever, that they actually went there.
It's which is
crazy because you also have heard stories about Hitler escaping out into space.
Yeah. Or going to South America or going to Antarctica, you know?
Right. Kinda exactly.
Links up. It's interesting that the first account of it was in a fictional account. So like it makes you wonder how, like you said, how it got to that point. Was it hidden up until that point? When someone outed it as a fictional, you know, society, mm-hmm. and then people built it around it, and then, you know, once it's out, people just accepted it. Or was it actually the first mention of it fictional, and then people built a society around the fictional society?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. But it was interesting enough that
sort of like
the Nazis took interest in it.
So what do they call that when, what kind of disclosure is that when they release it like via media?
It's like soft disclosure, essentially.
It's almost soft disclosure. If there was a society that was underground and then someone released it via a book. And once people started reading it and getting interested in it, they're like, oh, actually it's not fake. Interestingly enough.
It is weird because as we've talked about before with people, like belief and intent make a difference as well.
Yeah.
Cause I could see people being, the fucked up thing is I could see people being so infatuated with the book. It's almost like the same connection with, oh damn it. What's the blue people movie?
Avatar.
That one. There are people that were fucked up watching Avatar cause they wanted to be that so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like they had such a connection to that movie and this book that it's almost like they made it come true in a weird way. You know, like they build these universes around it.
It is weird.
It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre, but it's, you know, is it possible that they put so much thought and effort into this and they're shooting this intent and something answered? Maybe it wasn't anything by what they believed in, but something heard the call and goes, all right,
let's get it.
I'll do it.
Yeah, which kind of leads back to Saturn.
know? Yeah, and it does kind of play into the overall theory here that we'll we'll get into when it comes to these women and the Vril. So by this research, Vril would use the spiritual fluid or energy like weaponizing divine breath. Divine breath goes by many names like holy breath, sacred breath, or breath of God. It pops up in religious, mystical, and esoteric traditions across a shitload of cultures, typically symbolizing a spiritual life force, creative energy, or direct connection to the divine.
Sounds like a spell from Diablo.
It does, kind
of. Divine breath.
Yeah, it sounds, that does sound cool.
That is sick.
But the Vril would then use psychic rituals, hair antenna, and trance downloads to make this connection. Because people, which is kind of a fucking interesting thought, there are people that believe and claim that women with longer hair, it acts as antennas for like for reaching into communication like that. And if you think about it, there are a lot of psychics that have long hair.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I know they're not all that way, but I do feel like when I envision one, I picture a woman with long hair.
That's wild.
It's kind of weird, right?
And yeah, and hair, like, hair itself is like crazy because it holds like history and like your past and DNA and all sorts of shit. Like,
it's weird, right?
Interesting.
It's kind of a weird little thing that I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
Like the superhero with the long hair. You cut his hair and he loses all of his strength. Can't remember who it was.
Was it Samson?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'll Google it.
But when it comes to this, you know, people theorize that the black eye could be a visible scar, so to speak, of them making connection with this force. So I guess what it's trying to, what's trying to be explained in this guy's podcast is that the Vril would use women to connect and receive this information. Whereas the black eye is to submit and embody. Meaning, I assume that they are both reaching the same place, possibly through different means. But apparently this moves the Black Eye Club into contacting with ascended masters who may actually be entities acting like beings of light, but are the Nephilim or the Watchers. So once again, it kind of falls back into our trope here of these beings of light who made contact with the Vril Society women were acting like beings of light.
They were actually Nephilim.
They were actually Nephilim or the Watchers or Fallen, however it's described. They were evil entities.
Which is 100% the Nephilim MO, you know.
Absolutely.
Connecting with the women. That's kind of what the Nephilims do.
Yeah.
The Nephilim. That lines up.
Yeah. Yep. And I do like the connection. Both of them are aiming for the same thing, just taking different paths. You know, the black eye and the Vril. And it makes sense that the eye being blackened is more of a pact, an open acknowledgement to the possession of this power. Another idea was that maybe these aren't both aiming at the same end. However, it is more likely that the Vril and Black Eye Society, or Black Eye Club, are a two-part system. And this is where I become extremely interested. So what the suggestion is that the women from Vril opened the gateways, and they did this in like a private secret transmission, right? The Black Eye Club is the second part of the story, and it is the embodiment of that power taking a seat at the table. So, and I give it to the host, and this is fucking crazy. Like, cause you talk about the Nephilim, the Watchers and all that shit. He ties this in with possible old school demons. The one in particular is Naamah, N-A-A-M-A-H, mentioned in Genesis 4:22 as the sister of Tubal-Cain. And she, in Scripture, is one of the only female relatives of Cain that ever get mentioned outside of his immediate bloodline. In Jewish mysticism, she evolves into as one of the four demonic queens. She becomes the vessels for things unholy. So what she basically does is it's like this situation where she's not inherently evil, but she allows evil to mate with her to create spiritual hybrids in this like unholy war.
That's kind of evil.
Yeah, kind of.
If you're,
it's like semantics, essentially. Like,
yeah, if you're aiding and abetting evil,
yeah,
you don't have to be inherently evil.
Yeah,
to do.
I mean, that's why she bidding. She essentially turns into one of the four demonic queens,
which is probably evil.
But I think it was like a metaphor scenario of like how he's not exact, like she's not personally waging war on heaven. She's just facilitating the army.
Yeah. She's just giving ammunition to the people waging war on heaven.
Exactly. Yes.
So she gets to play like, you know what? I didn't fire any shots. Did I pass on some rounds? Maybe, but I didn't fire him.
Yeah, so. It wasn't me.
Yeah, it's a like a backdoor caveat. You can keep your hands clean whenever all heaven breaks loose.
Right, right. So he's saying Naamah allowed the fallen to mate with her. She was a willing vessel. The women of the Vril society did the same and channeled these beings who were able to enter them. And I kind of like the overall direction. You know, he's saying that the feminine current was weaponized through channeling, trance, and stolen breath, where the masculine was through ritual, trauma, submission, and branding of flesh. Which, if you think about it, if you were going to envision that scenario for men and women, that's how your mind would depict it. That the masculine, the men, would go through a ritual trauma and branding of flesh, whereas the women are channeling and trance and stuff like that. Like yeah. it definitely feels that way.
Metaphysical, right? And physical, essentially.
Yeah. So as he says, together they formed a circuit. One opens the gate and the other seals the contract. One receives the spirit and one wears it. That's and
interesting.
I'm kind of fucking with it.
Ritual, like, yeah.
It makes sense to me. And it might have things that are wrong with it, right? But I do think the foundation feels right to me.
It's interesting.
Because I do think that the majority of the secret societies that are in existence are on the hunt for something more powerful. I don't think they're just doing, I mean, don't get me wrong. I can definitely see where a group of rich dudes get together and say, hey, Steve, I've got a lot of money. You got a lot of money. Let's join forces and start acquiring more power.
That's what power does.
Right. Then they keep expanding. Then they come up with some nerdy ass rule about how I got to punch you in the eye and you got to let everybody else know. You know, guys would do this. 100% they would do this, right? Yeah. Without fucking question, this would happen.
Yeah.
But the fucked up thing about guys and the way this shit goes is that as this club progresses, and I'm not saying this is real, I'm just saying the mentality of men. As the club progresses, lore also begins to progress, right? Then someone may or may not start looking into ancient texts and adding more and more and more to the lore until, boom, you're full on in a goddamn club with entity possessing members, and it got way out of hand.
Sometimes that just happens.
I mean, I know, I know it might sound stupid, but guys are like that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. How many times have we been warned to use some sort of spiritual protection before we do shit? And how many times have we done it?
Zero.
Zero. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
It may be different scenarios, but the same mindset is put forth.
Yeah.
Like if they're like, hey, Kyle, we'll give you all sorts of arcane occult knowledge if you just let me punch you in the eye and then you go on television.
All right.
Okay, bet. And you get it done. They're like, oh, yeah, here's Set, the chaos god. He's actually the one behind that. And who's behind him is Saturn. Good luck. Look what you got yourself into.
Fucking great.
It always happens like that.
That's great. That's great. But we go down the different road, you know. The Vril, type 1 lizard. A parasitic, carnivorous, and malevolent little shit. These things dwell underground. They have a proboscis called the quill located on the top of their heads. The proboscis looks like a little chocolate chip. And it enters, or this thing contains the being's entire consciousness. Once they infect you, the lizard body is dead. They can only infect once, which means if they were to fail during the injection process, they die. Usually the person that's being infected is usually unconscious or restrained. The proboscis then enters the victim's eye and spirals around the optic nerve. It then proceeds to go to an area of the brain that essentially tastes good to it. Once they are in place, they begin to sweat the quill, is what they call it, which excretes the parasitic cells that begin to take over the body. This kills the person and replaces their consciousness with the Vril lizard consciousness. Once the Vril has taken over completely, it's known as droning and often referred to as demonic possession and shape-shifting. The host is known as a drone, a host of Vril, or a parasite host. Once this happens, the host loses compassion and seems to have a personality shift, which you mentioned earlier, Steve, about the black eye and people shifting personalities. These people then lean into torture, sex, and want nothing more than to drone other people. Apparently, and you can look this up real quick, Steve, apparently there is a picture of one of these that is being held by Salvador Dali.
What's it called again? What's the name of it?
Just put Salvador Dali holding Vril lizard.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
What's Salvador Dali doing holding a real lizard?
Have you found a picture of it?
Not yet. Oh.
You see that little fucking weirdo?
It looks... That's interesting.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If that thing comes at me, this little lizard unicorn with the chocolate chip stump, it's getting kicked.
Oh, for sure. But you know what it reminds me of? Something. It 100% reminds me of facehuggers.
It looks like something that crawled out of the damn ocean is what it looked like.
Oh, it does, for sure.
Immediately makes me double down on never going into the damn ocean.
Well, yeah, I've done been there. But doesn't it, like, it has the MO of a face hugger.
Yeah, it looks like a mermaid stingray body or something. It's weird.
It's definitely weird.
I don't like it.
I'm sure there's some logical explanation for it, but whatever.
I'm not letting it put a chocolate chip in my eye.
Here is another weird fucking conclusion. I mean, this will narrow down the episode for us here, but this is interesting. Like I said earlier, the Black Eye Club may be linked to Saturn. And me and Steve are kind of notorious for this. We've done it a lot where we cover an eye, right? You know, we're fucking around. But we've seen a lot of pictures where celebrities are covering their eyes.
Yeah.
Well, which is weird when you tie it into the Black Eye Club, almost like a precursor situation. But there is actually a ritual that requires you to cover your eye and do something with incense that will call Saturn. But what I find stranger is that when Saturn is approaching you, you are to cover one eye because you're not supposed to look at these deities head on with both eyes because we are terrestrial. And until you have essentially transformed, you are not allowed to look at these deities with both your eyes. So I find it fucked up how through all these ancient things and through the research that I did, everything is kind of attributing sacrificing an eye for enlightenment or power or whatever. But then if you compare that with this about covering an eye as a god is coming until you have changed, and the black eye is all about change, seeing into the hidden.
Sacrificing that one eye essentially lets you delve into seeing whatever these things are without having to physically cover an eye because you've sacrificed the eye.
It's fucking weird, man. It's fucking weird. And like, dude, like it kind of sent me down a short spiral, which I didn't write any of this down. I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. Spitballing. A short little spiral on Saturn again, because I find Saturn super fucking interesting.
We need to revisit that. That stirred up a lot of interest.
Saturn's interesting, man. Like, I saw links between, you know, the, what do you call that? It's depicted a lot in religious pictures. It's like the heart with like a cross sticking out of the top, like the sacred heart or whatever it is. Apparently that stems to Saturn's sigil. If you take Saturn's sigil and mirror it, it creates the Sacred Heart.
That's weird.
Fucking weird, right?
Almost again, like either, I guess it wouldn't be mocking it, because essentially you would think that Saturn existed before.
Almost
like manipulating religious icons.
Yeah. Yep. And then there was a, like, I know in my research, I specifically remember us talking about one of Saturn's like symbols or whatever is a key. Like there's a lot of key references, like keyholes and shit. Well, in regards to what you were talking about with Elon, and his black eye, he said it was from his son, punched him in the eye. His son's name is X, which has ties to Saturn. And it's kind of a stretch, I feel like, because one of the tie that was explained is like if you take a X and you put it on its side, it creates a cross, which the cross creates a cube, which is then linked to Saturn. But Saturn's thing is also like gold imagery. Trump does everything in gold. Trump also gave in that same thing where Elon had a black eye. Trump gives Elon a gold key.
Weird.
So a lot of like Saturn
symbolism
is going on right there.
Weird.
Kind of weird. Now, whether that's truth or not, and like that's legitimate, I don't fucking know, but it is strange.
Interesting.
So in the end, I do think there is definitely something going on with the black eyes, without question. What it is, I don't know. I don't think it's all injury, like nonchalant injuries. I don't believe that for a second. Some of them, of course, are probably injuries. It does happen, just not that fucking often. Because like you said, Steve, like at any given time, I honestly couldn't even tell you the last time I saw a person with a black eye.
I've seen more celebrities and famous people with black eyes than I've seen normal people with black eyes.
100%. I cannot remember the last time I saw somebody with a black eye.
Which is bonkers.
It's fucking weird.
When I say it out loud.
It's fucking weird. When you like actually sit and think about it, like when was the last time I saw somebody with a black eye?
Yeah. We've Holy essentially fuck. Walked by thousands and thousands and thousands of people and none of them have a black eye.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're getting all the all these celebrities and famous people just parading them around.
Yeah.
Just having the
it's
best.
It's fucking weird. Yeah. It's definitely fucking weird. And there's a massive list. I couldn't even find like an actual list, but there's so many people. Because there's collage boards out there with people's faces on them. Like Robert Downey Jr. and all the politicians and all that shit. Yeah. And it does feel like the majority of them are men. I know there's women in that group too, but it does feel like a lot of them are men.
I'm going to Google that.
So it's definitely, I don't know. I definitely think there's something to it.
Oh yeah,
and I could definitely see it being attributed to some type of ancient ritual.
Yeah, and some of them are bizarre, like that picture of Tom Hanks with like standing in front of Oprah, and he's got the black eye.
Yeah,
and the Popes. Yeah, that shit's weird.
It's fucking weird, man.
It's weird,
and the majority of them, oddly enough, are left eyes.
And like Kanye.
Oh, yeah.
We all watched Kanye go from being like one of the coolest people in pop culture history to just spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy. Even
it's weird.
Even beyond like famous people, like prominent, wealthy people also are having it. Like the big names, like the Rockefellers and
People who aren't seen in public that fucking often, I don't feel like. You know, no. Their pictures aren't blasted everywhere. But all of a sudden, they'll have a black eye picture posted. Kind of fucking weird.
It is weird. It is fucking weird.
It's just a weird situation.
It's interesting.
Strange, man. I do think there's something to it. I don't know what. But I don't think anybody actually knows what it is. I think they're casting a net out and the conspiracy world is trying to pull it in.
Yeah. Until it's one of those things until you have someone that has either experienced it or is in those circles that will come out and talk about it. It's all just going to be speculation.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, I think the conspiracy world is trying to hone in on it. It's just a matter of siphoning through it.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's fucked up, man.
It is fucked up.
It's fucked up. It's one of them things where you look at on the surface, it's just a little black eye. But as you kind of dig around, and it is kind of crazy how many of the ancient things revolve around eyes, and like you said, they're portals to the soul. It's weird. There's a lot of symbology or symbolism, whatever you want to say, behind it. Then there's also weird little fucking lizards that like to stick stuff in your fucking eyeball.
Not my eyeball.
I ain't trying to get one in my eye.
They can get it. They can get it.
Oh yeah.
I'll find my own path to arcane occult knowledge.
Yeah, fucking karate kick.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold one hostage. So give me the knowledge and you can have your lizard back. That's how it is.
Stick that little lizard in a microwave.
Yeah. See, we'll see what kind of arcane knowledge we can create with that. Put it in a blender.
That sucks.
Get it. Oh, that was interesting.
It's weird, man. It's weird.
Getting into the shit that I haven't got into and just like soaking it in. Like, goddamn. Especially thinking about how many famous people we've seen with black eyes compared to just the normal everyday public that we encounter.
It's weird, man. And the public's always fighting.
Yeah. And you know, people are going to be like, well, it's just media and they put it out there, blah, 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 blah. Is it? Cause like Kyle said, some of these people don't do media that much. And yeah. Like you get a picture of some old banker billionaire and the only picture you've ever seen of this dude and he has a black eye.
A little strange.
That's a high banger. I also love that it might lead into a swing back around to Saturn and the black cube.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sick. Good eyes. All right, Holocult. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out. Kyle's giving you something to think about.
Strange.
Something to think about.
Let us know what you think about it.
Ritual.
I would like to hear theories. That'd be fun.
We got a lot of good brains in the Discord that'll probably run hard on this. Yeah. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out at the socials. Share the socials. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and your homework for this week is to think back as to how many people you encounter in public that have black eyes. Because I'm gonna bet probably not a lot.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.